and talking to Jade Wild, the author of The Thinking Tank, and just hearing her story there of the loss of her daughter Rowena in January of 1999. And someone's texting here saying, I'm driving in Abu Dhabi with tears in my eyes. Very touching regarding Rowena, especially hearing the sensitivity of the nurse. You know, for some people, they would find it very difficult to speak out and share that story. Somebody here is saying you're very brave to do that. But others might think actually it's inappropriate. How do you feel about that? Why do you feel the need or you feel okay being able to talk about it publicly?
Yes, Suzanne. I think it's less of the need than the fact that, let's start again there. To be fair, I did actually think it might be inappropriate to start with, and I was very reticent about telling my backstory for some time. And then I did remember the people that talked to me about the fact that their children had died made an impact on me, because I could see these folks in the world still having their place in the world, albeit some years on. And that gave me hope. So when somebody approached me for probably the nth time and said, you know, would you mind telling your backstory? And curiously, it was actually for a piece in the Friday magazine in Dubai. I thought, okay, maybe it is time. And like I say, I do feel Rowena's still with me. And now that I've done it, it doesn't feel wrong. It doesn't feel inappropriate. I've had some fantastic messages and comments left both by email and on my website to say that it has actually helped people to hear that there is potential after going through this kind of trauma. It could actually be any trauma, because let's face it, we all face trauma in different way, and whatever your worst is your worst at the time. So it might not be something like a child dying. It might be something like a divorce. It might be something totally different that pulls you up sharp, that puts a different perspective on your life for a while.
Well, that's it. And as a listener myself to your story this morning, it does. It's sharing that emotion with somebody that gives us all that little bit of sort of comfort and hope for the future, and for when these, you know, things at life which are just thrown at us, a coping mechanism. And to hear the story, like you said, you'll never fully come to terms. You'll never fully get over it. But you have come out the other side. And really, what we're talking about here today is the book that you wrote. You know, and you know, so a good thing did come from that. You know, it spurred you on for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It spurred me on from it. But actually, as far as I'm concerned, the thinking tank is secondary to what we're talking about here.
Of course.
I think that I've been persuaded that if by talking about what happened to me can help other people, then that's got to be a good thing to do. If we can find a new pathway through life when there are difficulties. I write a blog called Life's Crappy Stuff. To be honest, I've got quite a lot of life's t-shirts, and if anybody wants to take a look, you know, there are things that have happened to me, and I think life's like that.
Yeah.
You bump along through life. It goes in phases. You have a good phase, and then, you know, sometimes we need to just look at the good phase and say, well, thank you, God, Allah, whoever we believe in. Thank you for this good phase, and then enjoy that good phase for what it is, and not be surprised when other things come our way, because I don't think life is linear for anybody. Mm. I think we all have our own traumas to deal with. And the more you start speaking to people, the more you realize, you know, people start speaking to me because I'm talking about what happened to me.
Yeah.
And they have their own stories too.
Exactly. I think you're absolutely right. You know, the idea of, you know, life's crappy stuff and, you know, what's your worst, what you're going through at this moment. And, you know, when you were, you know, coming to terms, if you could, with what happened to Rowena and going through that grieving stage, you went into a terrible depression. You were medicated. You went on to antidepressants. You know, to understand what that is. And, you know, we talk a lot on the show about challenges. People face challenges every day of their life. And if we don't unable to reach out to other people and say, look, I'm having difficulty, what's going to happen to that individual? And it's about being brave enough or open enough to be able to share these stories so people can go, I'm not alone, and I can reach out to that person, or I can hear that story or read that piece and think, okay, I can take something from that and maybe it will help me a little bit. So it's all about opening up the dialogue between us and not being frightened to talk about such things, because often, you know, if we're moving on with your life and you're into, you know, that stage of grieving where you had to be medicated, I mean, how was that for you? How were you even aware of it because you were so, you know, overwrought with grief?
I think that that grief's a kind of madness, actually. That's how it felt to me anyway. And it's very isolating. I remember walking down the street and thinking to myself, look at all these people carrying on with their normal lives. This is what you think, of course. Maybe they aren't normal lives, in inverted commas. You know, how lucky they are that they can get on with what they're doing, and look what's happened to me. Because you always think these things are going to happen to other people. You never think it's going to be you.
Yeah.
So you feel very isolated with that, that nobody else can understand. And to me, finding there were people who did understand, finding people to connect with really helped. But that didn't stop me sinking into a very deep depression. The first thing that I did, though, was I just tried to carry on with my work. At the time, I was doing some promotional work. And I remember 2 weeks after she died, I actually got on a plane, went to Germany, held a meeting in German with an audience. I can't believe that I did that now. Mm. It was the most ridiculous thing to do, and people were saying, no, you can't do that, you're not up to that, you shouldn't be doing it. But something in me just said, no, you just got to carry on. And I think people react in different ways.
And I think because I lost a brother many, many years ago, and actually whilst I was in Rutland, in Oakham, and the day I got the news, my other brother came and told me, I was teaching later that day at the local school, and I just went on. I carried on and went to do the class, and it was only on the way to the class that I suddenly thought, what are you doing? And maybe this isn't appropriate and right. But it was about trying to go, this hasn't really happened, and if I can just carry on and normal and keep things as normal as possible, then that's longer that I don't have to actually recognise and acknowledge what's happened. So it's extraordinary what we do in these circumstances, but I think it's your human nature telling you, trying to survive, trying to preserve yourself, protect yourself.
But I also think it's the long term. You know, when we first have a trauma like this, you can be in that sort of shock state for quite a while, but it's sort of when everybody else's life goes back to normal and everybody starts to sort of carry on with their lives how they were, where you're going, hang on, I'm still grieving.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's when the loneliness really, you know, takes effect, I think.
I think we all have different coping mechanisms, and certainly, you know, that was mine at the time. And I sort of thought, if I carry on working, then I'm honouring Rowena, this will be fine, we'll get through this, that kind of thing. But actually, you can't do it forever. Like you say, other people's lives go back to normal. I can remember the amazing generosity of the people in the village, the people around us. They brought so much food that, you know, if we'd eaten it for a year, we couldn't have got through it all. And it was their way of saying, absolutely. It's their way of saying, you know, we understand that, you know, you've had a major loss. This is what we can do. This is the small thing we can do. But you have to expect people's lives to get back to normal. And it wasn't long before people were saying to me, how are your daughters? Plural. And the question, that terrible question, do you have any children? Which, when you meet new people, comes up time and time again. Then what do you say? Do you say, I have a daughter? Or do you say, well, I have two daughters, but one is in spirit, and put that person in that difficult situation, but the only alternative is to deny the fact that you have two daughters. So all these things are continually thrust at you. So it's dealing with the grief, it's dealing with other people and all that kind of thing that is tough.
Susan's texting saying, I believe we need to share our life experiences. It makes us human again. Somehow it seems we have lost that. Thanks and all the best. Thank you, Susan, for your text, and lots of messages coming in. We'll get to those as we move through the show, talking to Jada Wild and hearing her story, how she went through incredible grief and bereavement and ill health. And coming out the other side is this book, The Thinking Tank.